All right, we don't have as long tonight, but we're going to pick it up where we left off in the discipleship material. We are in chapter number 6, and we finished chapter 5, which dealt with the armor of God. And why do you need the armor of God? Because you're in a battle. Well, we're going to find out what we battle. Our main adversary is who we're looking at. We started last week, and we'll get into it again. We'll finish up probably next week. And of course, that is Satan. The Bible tells us a lot about him. It's nice to know that if you have an enemy, that you can get a lot of good details about him. What he's like, what he's trying to push, and the tactics and the tools that he will use to try to trip us up. We saw last week, as we started getting into some of the things that he does and what he's about, we saw his main doctrine. And it's always been the same since the beginning of the Bible. His main doctrine is this: you need to be the God of your life. You're the decider. You make your own decisions apart from him. You decide what is right and what is wrong. And we looked at that. Let's go to the next one here. We're going to see that next, that Satan was ruined by his pride. By pride. The devil was not originally what he is now. He became the devil when he rebelled against God and rejected him. In Isaiah chapter 14, it's in the book if you have the book. It's in your Bible if not. Isaiah 14 verse 12 to 15. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That was his plan. How did that work out for him? Verse 15. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." It's no wonder that Satan wants us to follow his doctrine, which is being really the God of our own life, the being the determining factor of what I do in my own life, when that was his problem. He wanted to be like the Most High. All you look in there, I. Pride. Could it be that's why we struggle with pride? Okay. Could it be that's why we want to do our own way, our own thing? That's what mankind has always struggled with. And it does nothing but lead to a fall. These verses are not in the book, but in Proverbs chapter 16, it said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride is always there right before someone's going to get themselves in trouble. It seems like there's pride. Because when we think we have things handled, when we think that we know what is best and we got everything under control, that's a really scary place to be. We're not that smart. There's no way we can handle things. There's no way we can control everything. And yet we think we can in our life, and we get that in a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low." Because pride took Satan down, and it was his desire to ascend and be higher and be like the Most High, maybe that's why he tries to do the same to us. When he first comes on the scene in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, that's what he does. He appeals to the pride of Eve. Verse 6 of Genesis 3 says this. Again, it's not in your book. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food." Now, this is after he went through the whole spiel with her, which we'll look at in another point. And he got her to focus on that which God said they could not have. Once she got her focus on that, it says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What do you mean, desire to be made wise? To be wise to the sense that now she didn't need to follow God. She could follow her own path. She can make her own decisions. Look, none of us are as smart as God, okay? That's really profound right there. And none of us, I don't think anybody in here would say they're as smart as God. For someone to say that, they would have to be mentally deranged. But it's funny. Here's how sin is in our life. We say the right things and we know the right things, and yet we still act like we don't know the right things. We know we don't have everything. But yet in our life, we'll make decisions like we do. We get so twisted. And that's what happened to her. We'll see more about her in a little bit. In 1 John chapter 2, 16, when it talks about the world, that's part of it too. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. By the way, isn't that what Eve saw? She had the lust of the flesh. It's good for food. I mean, that's a natural desire. And then the lust of the eyes, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. How can something that looks so good be wrong? By the way, when we get to pride, what we see, we want, right? Who's the best example of that in the Bible? Solomon. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's confusing. He was the wisest man that ever lived, but he didn't even follow his own advice. Because he got proud, the very things that he wrote about, now it was scripture. You know, it wasn't like Ben Franklin's book of quotes, it was scripture. The things he wrote about were the very things he violated. And you know what happened? It took him down. And so in Ecclesiastes, it says, whatever I saw, I got it. If I saw a girl, boom, wife number 647. That's crazy, by the way. I don't even comprehend that, okay? You know, if he liked music, they didn't have CD players. He got the band. Property, got it. Whatever his eyes saw, he got it. And what was the result of it? I think it's Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. He says, therefore, I hated life. I got everything I want. I saw it, I want it, and it didn't work. But then the third one. So the pride of life is what happened to her, to make one wise. We all want to be in charge. That's just it. We don't do well if we're not in charge. We just don't do well with getting in line with God's program, getting in line with Scripture. We always want to do what we want to do. That's pride. Listen to this statement. You are never more like the devil than when you are acting in pride. If that's what took him down, if that's really the motivation behind his core doctrine, you be your own God, you decide. Then when I act in pride, I'm being like the devil. Yeah. And let me just say, God delivered me from pride years ago. Come on. I'm kidding, okay? It's something you always fight. I mean, you think you got the thing under wraps, and then something comes along and it just jumps back out. You got to constantly, 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 boom, fight it. Yep. Pride. We are to be Christ-like. We just took the Lord's Supper. Seems to me Jesus did not act in pride. He was sacrificial, right? He gave his life. He gave his blood. He gave his body. And here's the kicker. He didn't have to. Who, Philippians chapter 2, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You say, what does that mean? Let me explain it to you. The thought it not robbery means something to be grasped or held on to. In other words, even though Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, that's not why he came. The Bible tells us earlier in that chapter, he came to be a servant. And see, you say, well, was he not God? Did he divest himself of his attributes of God? No. The best illustration of that would be if you have sight, if you willingly close your eyes, can you see? No, because you're choosing not to see. Jesus chose purposely to come to this earth and act like a servant, not to, and I don't even know if this is a proper term, to flaunt his godhood. That's not why he came. He came to be a servant. Now, he was God. He could never divest himself of that. But he came to be a servant. By the way, that shows no pride. Yep. Amen. Can I tell you, if I was God, there'd be a lot of piles of ashes that used to be people.
Yeah. Yep.
If I was driving on the freeway, somebody, you know, they get mad because you, and they get next to it's like, zzz. Okay, why? Because we just can't get it together. Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. Jesus allowed himself to go through all of that when as God, what did he tell? I could call legions of angels. Don't worry about it. It's not that I can't run fast. That's not why I got caught. I came to be a servant. That's sacrificial. You can almost tell what level of pride you're at by what level of sacrifice you exhibit in your life. It's when you can be mean to somebody and you're not. Now I'm meddling, right? Okay. I know. That's a tough one. I better move on. I'm getting convicted. We're to be Christ-like. He was sacrificial, but unfortunately, so often we choose to be more Satan-like. We're selfish. It's about me. It's about mine. It's about how you made me feel. Think of it this way. Why would someone buy into Satan's doctrine and make their own decisions, rejecting God's counsel and in essence becoming their own God? The answer is pride. Pride causes us to believe that we know what's best. You know, a lot of it starts with our ignorance to the scriptures. It's almost like if we know that we know the scriptures, we know what God wants us to do, and we don't want to do that. It kills me. You're like, you know, that's just your interpretation. Well, tell me what your interpretation is. Well, they can't explain it to you. You know why? They've never cracked open that book. They're not interested in what God has to say about life. I don't know about you. We all struggle with pride, but I know one thing. I am not bright enough to figure things out. I need a little bit of help. And by the way, don't look at me like that. You need help too.
Yes, sir.
You cannot possibly know what's best for you, right? Here's how you understand this. We're limited in knowledge. Do you know everything? Do you know everything? Remember years ago, we bought some tracks. Brother Vaughn was still here. And they printed them upside down. And so he was trying to, it was like, you know, Brother Vaughn kept calling her like, no, that's your fault. And I'm like, is it our fault? He goes, nope, we bought tracks. I sent it in the exact same way I always did. It's their fault. So I'm like, I'm not paying that money and not getting tracks, okay? So I called the lady and we're going. And I had to struggle with staying within my space, okay, stay in my lane and not get mad. And she went, and I'm like, look, we sent it to you the exact same way we always have. And she admitted to that. I'm like, okay, so. And she just would not. And I'm like, can you just, it's not a big deal. Can you just say, you guys made a mistake and give us the tracks or give us our money back. And she said this to me. She goes, I never am wrong. Now she didn't, I said, you know what? Where were you when I was looking for a wife? Man, I would have liked someone like that that's never wrong. Wait a minute, I have one. But then she kind of caught it like, okay, I didn't mean that. I'm like, I know you didn't mean that. I get what you're saying. Finally, we did get our tracks back. But that's how we are sometimes. In the moment, we can't see things in situations of life, and all we see is what we can see and what we think. And we don't realize how limited we really are. We're limited in our knowledge. And you have to understand this. We are flawed in our reasoning sometimes. Now, I know some of us are smarter or whatever. Some of you are smarter, and you can think things through. But again, because we're limited in knowledge, our reasoning is not always right. How many of you have ever thought about something or made a decision, and let's be honest tonight, and it didn't turn out the way you thought, based on your reasoning, that it would turn out? Let's be honest. Thank you. That's all of us. The rest of you are liars. That's the next point. We'll get you next week. Yeah. It's like, man, this just seems like a really good idea. And it's like, it turned into a train wreck. It's like, oh man, I totally wasn't thinking.
We're weak in our flesh. And when you're weak in your flesh, you make mistakes.
That's why Jesus that's why when Satan came after Jesus with the temptation, when did he come after him? After 40 days of fasting. You know why? Because he was physically weak. And when you're physically weak, sometimes you're a little cattywampus, right? You ever come home and you're like, you're a little bit on edge because you haven't had dinner? What do they say? You are hangry. Like, look, feed me and I'll be good. Okay? But we get weak in the flesh and sometimes we allow that to make our decisions. And the fact of the matter is we're just inadequate in prudence. In other words, in seeing the conclusion of a matter. We think if we do this, this will be the natural outcome. Prudence is being able to look at the scripture and seeing how a course of action you take will turn out in the future if you take that action. But you know, sometimes we just don't get it. And we're like, no, if I do this, I know it's going to work. So you invest all your money in some stock or I don't know, did Bitcoin make a rebound yet? You know, it's like, this is going to work. You don't know the future. I'm not saying don't invest. I'm just saying the point. We don't know. We can't tell how something is going to turn out if that's the course of action we take. We can only be assured that it will turn out in a good way if it's the course of action which the Bible teaches or pushes us towards. Then we have God's thought on the thing and not just the weakness of our own thinking. Now, there's a couple ways you can get grace, right? How you can beat pride. And it's the word we don't like. It's called humility. Humility. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. You know what resist is? Get away. When someone fights a police officer when they're trying to get arrested, what is that called? That's called resisting arrest. Actively fighting against it. So God says he resists the proud. Why? Because you're invading his territory. You're trying to take his place. God says, I don't have anything to do with that. He resists the proud, but here's the good part. He giveth grace unto the humble. The humble. You know, humility is the pride killer, and it's developed. It's developed. It's that time when you could have lashed out and you don't. It's that time when you think something is a good course of action and it doesn't turn out and you own it. You're like, you know what? There's two ways you can get humility. Number one, you can humble yourself. I'm not going to be in charge. I'm not going to, of my life. I'm going to back off. I'm going to make sure I try to, you know, stay in my lane. I'm going to make sure you humble yourself. By the way, that's the best way. Because the other way is not so good. The other way is we can be humbled by God. He's really good at it. He's really good at it. You're proud and you think, everything's okay. And God's like, I got that covered. And then everything you think is going the right way starts to fall apart. It's like, man, I thought I had this all figured out. I thought I had the answer. Well, you don't even know the question. We don't even know all the questions. How are we going to have the answers when we don't even have all the questions? We don't have to have all the answers, but we have to know where all the answers are. God has the answers. And so we can choose to be humble. And I'm not talking about this false humility. I am nothing. I am nothing but dirt. When it rains, I am mud. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's knowing your place. It's knowing who the authority is in your life. It's here's what humility is. When you think you have the right thing, but you allow God to show you, no, it's not. And even though you may not see what God is saying, I just don't see how it's going to work out. I used to hate when I coached football, and I like coaching basketball, but I really like football better because it was like a chess match. And this play led to that play, to led to that play, to led to that play. And so I called the plays. And it was real simple, you know. I don't know if you got, you know, spider, sweep right on four, whatever. It was, they knew the things. They could throw it or whatever. And I'd say, okay, go tell them that. And then they'd go out there and they would huddle and I'd be counting in my mind. 1,001, 1,002. I know how long it takes to tell you what the play is. And inevitably, they'd be going longer. And I would just start yelling, run the play I called. Because I know what they're doing. Well, you know, I was open last play. I saw you weren't open. You're mythical. Okay? Because I set it up. Now, it may not have been right all the time, but I knew what I wanted to do. And they're like, I got a better play. And I'm like, I'm not running that play. I'm the boss. Okay? Now, that's just football. But the thing is, it's knowing like, look, I don't see it, but you know what? God says it. That's what we're going to roll with. I'm just going to, or a situation, you got to have your way. It's like, oh, okay, maybe I'm not seeing this. Humility. Because when we think we know everything, God has a really good way of showing us we don't know anything. You know why? He's trying to teach us humility. You know what? I'd rather learn it on my own. Because when God does it, it's a lot more humbling. Okay? And we don't want to be like Satan. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Lord's Supper tonight. Thank you for, Lord, actually, if we think about it, we look at Philippians chapter 2, the ultimate example of humility was Jesus Christ. And yet, he humbled himself. Lord, may we understand that we don't know everything. May we understand that we need to defer to you, Lord. We need to get in the scriptures. We need to know what you say. And we need to follow your path in our life and seek your will. Bless us now. Help us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.